In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Law and order.
I could have left you. I could have walked away. You'd still be sick.
The man's around 50. He sits behind a desk in an office.
But I didn't. Even though it was wrong.
He looks ahead and leans forward as if talking to someone.
Because I want you. I don't care what the law says. I've always wanted you.
The same office, now a crime scene, the man dead.
Philip Gardner, child psychiatrist, 50 years old, married, 2 kids, lives just around the corner. The cleaner found him this morning. She's downstairs now in tears.
Right. Thank you. Excuse me, my old mate. Morning, Joy.
All right, Ronnie?
Yeah.
So, we've got multiple stab wounds to the chest and stomach. Wounds are deep, so we're looking for a large blade, possibly a serrated edge, but at this stage...
Too early to tell.
You guessed it.
Yeah, well, someone's had a proper go at him, haven't they?
Certainly have.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Ronnie eyes Joe, who looks back at him gravely.
Insect. Mm.
Joe opens a door that is disguised as a bookcase. There's a small room behind it, with a mattress on the floor.
What have we got here, then?
Ronnie puts on his glasses and crouches down to study a small table with some things on it.
And you say he treats kids? What is this, a place to sleep?
Or a place for sex?
Ronnie frowns deeply. Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced DS Ronnie Brooks. Ben Bailey-Smith as athletic DS Joe Hawkins. Patterson Joseph as ruggedly handsome DI Wes Layton. The police officers and lawyers stroll through the halls of court together. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut SCP Jake Thorne. Georgina Taylor as short attractive CP Kate Barker. Peter Davison as grey-haired Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode, Safe from Harm. Home of Dr. Gardner, Regent's Park, Thursday, 13th of February.
I was helping my son with his homework. He's behind on his history project, so we worked on it together till quite late. Then I had a bath and went to bed.
And were you expecting your husband home?
His hours can be very erratic. Sometimes he sleeps in the office.
Right. Whereabouts does he sleep?
On the couch, I suppose.
Ronnie frowns.
This morning I had to get the kids to school, and then I walked the dogs around Regent's Park.
We're going to need to speak with your children, I mean, just to confirm that.
I haven't even told them yet. Just let us have a little time to adjust, please.
Of course.
Mrs. Gardner, you said this morning you took your dogs for a walk around the park. What did you do after that?
Then I came back. And now you're here.
Mum, the last come home early, so I missed the French test.
The kids spot the two detectives and their mother crying.
Mum?
The girl, Lisa, in her early teens, looks nervously from her mother to Ronnie. Murder Investigation Unit, Central Headquarters, Thursday 13th.
D.S. Brooks, this is Jonathan Shale. He'll be examining Dr. Gardner's patient files for us. He'll be able to answer any questions without breaching patient-doctor confidentiality.
Really? So, we're not allowed to look into the files ourselves, but you can and then tell us exactly what's in there?
Well, not everything, of course, but I'll help as best I can.
It is how it is, Ron.
Right, so he just worked with kids, yeah?
13 and upwards. Dr. Gardner specialised in children with deep emotional issues. If that's your criteria for finding a suspect, you've got your hands full.
Ron, come and look at this.
Joe sits in front of his computer.
This is some of the stuff we pull from the hidden room, Dr. Gardner's office, right? And I've got a loyalty card from a cafe, yeah? This face cream, which costs 200 quid.
What, for moisturising?
Yeah, I know. And this.
What's that, soap?
No, no, this stuff is skateboard wax, right? Mm. And this coffee place is next door to the Undercroft on the South Bank.
Yeah, it's a skate park.
No, no, it's the skate park.
Is it really?
Mm.
The skate park. Uh-huh. Very good. Well, let me tell you, Joe, that stuff could belong to any number of kids, mate.
Wait, this is a good lead.
Yeah?
Well, you're telling me we're not even going to go down there?
All right, and what are we going to look for, then? A skateboarder with perfect skin?
No, this is a rich girl.
You don't know it's a girl.
No, Ron, how long was I at child protection? This is a Jane, not a John. I guarantee it, right? This is a rich girl, emotional issues, right? Hangs out with the skater boys. It's got to be worth a try. Look, if you're worried, I'll hang back. You can go and dazzle the kids with your skating skills, yeah? Maybe chuck a few ollies, maybe a few grinds. What do you reckon?
Joe gets up.
Well, you got some front, I'll give you that.
South Bank Undercroft, Thursday 13th.
OK, and where is she, you say?
She's over there, the one in the burgundy hat.
In the hat?
Yeah.
All right, does she have a name?
Anna.
Anna?
Yeah.
OK, all right, thanks, lads, thank you.
Ronnie and Joe head over to Anna, a teenage girl.
Joe. Any luck?
I'm starting to think this wasn't such a good idea, you know.
Really? Well, I thought you was going to charm them all with your cool talk.
Did you say cool talk?
Yeah. You know, being down with the kids.
I don't even know where to start with that.
No. Well, that's okay. Because Anna does, don't you, Anna?
Anna legs it.
Well, don't just stand there.
Hey! Hey! Police! Stop! Hey, stop there! Hey! Hey, slow down!
Anna races up some stairs and along the concrete platform of the South Bank. Joe chases after her. She heads up more steps.
Hey! Come on!
She reaches a dead end and stops.
No! Hi. Get away from me! No, you can't make me go back! I'm not gonna go back!
It's okay, calm down. I'm not gonna hurt you.
You can't make me go back to her! I am not going back to her!
At the police station.
I can't watch her day and night.
No, Mrs. Sands, I am not judging. I just need to know where Anna was last night.
Well, I told you she was staying with a friend. She's been staying there all week. She doesn't like my boyfriend. Well, she doesn't like any of my boyfriends.
So when was the last time you spoke to Anna?
Well, she won't pick up the phone when she knows it's me.
Well, how does she get on with Dr. Gardner? Does she see him a lot?
Philip, the wonderful Philip. Yes, yeah, she's just fine with him. But then, you know, when you're throwing bricks through pub windows and burning the curtains, you need all the help you can get. So, yeah, she sees him twice a week. Costs me a small fortune, and somehow I'm still a bloody bitch.
Well, no, I'm sorry, I just don't know why I'm here. So I skipped school, so what?
Ronnie goes into the interview room where Anna is being interviewed. She eyes him warily.
Hello, Anna.
She fakes smiles.
I've just been talking to your mum.
Whatever she says, it's bollocks.
Well, she was telling me about Dr. Gardner.
Yeah? And?
Well, what's he like?
He's the best.
We found some of your things in his office.
Oh, is this what this is about? Me staying at Phillips?
I thought you were staying with your boyfriend.
Okay, wow. You got me. Look, he told me not to tell anyone, so, like...
Why? What did he do?
Nothing. Jeez, you've got such a dirty mind.
So why keep it a secret?
Look, he had strict rules about behaviour and a curfew and all that stuff. Look, please don't tell me that he's in trouble about this, because that's just totally unfair.
Joe looks down, but Ronnie maintains eye contact with her.
Dr. Gardner died last night, Anna. He was murdered.
Her face twitches, her eyes dart.
No.
Did he ever talk to you about any of his other patients?
You're lying.
I know you're upset. Okay, and I know that he was very, very special to you, but you can help him now by helping us find out who did this. Anna, this is for Dr. Gardner now. Please, think.
Well, there was this boy. I think it must have been one of his patients or something. And he was safe into school. Philip sorted that out, so... He can't be dead.
She shakes her head.
He can't be.
A tear rolls down her cheek. Home of Paul Downing, Battersea, Thursday, 13th of February.
Paul. Paul, for God's sake, open the door.
Can I try?
Be my guest. Paul.
Hello, mate. It's DS Hawkins. Listen, I know you've had a real shock, right? But it's very important that we talk to you about Dr. Gardner, okay? So we just need...
Dad. Paul's on his webcam.
They go into Paul's sister's room.
And now the police are here. They're saying that Dr. Gardner's been murdered. I don't believe it. I trusted him. He said everything was going to be okay. But now it just feels like everything's gone black again.
Paul slashes his neck with a knife. Joe barges the door down and they rush into Paul's room.
Work with me!
Stay calm!
Joe stems the flow of blood. Patrick Unit.
Mr. Downing, was Paul with you the whole night Dr. Gardner died?
No, he was... Since he was taken off the medication, he goes out for walks at night to clear his head.
What do you mean, sorry?
Dr. Gardner took him off the medication. I know he's a very good psychiatrist, but that scared me, and that's why I stopped the sessions.
And how did Paul feel about that?
He went ape.
Right.
Joe comes over to them.
They're transferring your son to the psychiatric ward now.
Barry Downing, Paul's dad, gets up and hurries away. Joe sits next to Ronnie in the waiting area.
What do you reckon?
Well, Paul seemed pretty upset when we told him Gardner was dead.
Yeah, he did. I just don't like the way all them kids love that doctor so much, you know?
Well, you think he was abusing Paul?
I don't know, maybe. Paul's got no alibi, though, Joe. You take a mentally unstable lad, mess with his pills. What happens then?
I think it's completely irresponsible. Paul can't survive without a certain level of medication.
No, I'm just not a fan of kids being doped if it can be avoided.
Yeah, nor me, but if you study Paul's case notes, you'd see there's no other option. Why Dr. Gardner decided to throw it all out the window is beyond me.
Paul seemed to like his methods.
Well, he's a child. He's a teenager, but he's still easily influenced.
So, Dr. Carey, you don't think Dr. Gardner's methods help Paul at all?
No, I don't. Kids love doctors like Gardner because they break the rules. But it's irresponsible, and Paul's breakdown is all the proof you need.
Well, how do you think Paul would react then if Dr. Gardner had told him he was going to get better than he didn't?
Not well.
At Paul's bedside.
Where were you 2 nights ago, Paul?
I was just walking around, thinking.
Did you go and see Dr. Gardner?
Just walked in circles. My head gets so busy.
Is that because Dr. Gardner messed up your treatment?
He didn't mess with anything.
Well, you've got to tell us what we've got wrong then, Paul.
I'm a rock in the sea of chaos. Philip taught me that. It's what I say to myself. I go walking in the dark and I say it over and over. He helped calm me down.
Don't you feel calmer now that you're back on your medication?
Suppose. But I feel shit.
You took a knife to school, Paul?
I went to the school and my brain was on fire and I was just going to stab everyone, just stab them all. But I remembered what Philip had taught me. That I'm a rock in a sea of chaos. And it stopped me. He saved me, see?
Where's the knife now, Paul?
I gave it to Philip. He locked it in his desk to keep us all safe.
Dr. Gardner's office, Friday, 14th February.
Well, if there had been a knife, our guys would have found it during the original search.
No, you're right.
Oh, and CCTV picked up Paul wandering around the park, so he's in the clear.
Right. OK. Joe?
Ronnie discovers a secret compartment in the desk.
Well, no knife, but what have we got here?
Some mini cassette tapes. Ronnie studies one and holds it up.
Claire.
He puts the tape into a machine on the desk and presses play.
The taste of your skin, of your perfect, unblemished body, made me forget about everything. It didn't matter if people could see us through the glass. I don't care what they say. I want you. I want you. I have to have you, whatever the consequences.
At the station.
Who is this Claire?
We don't know.
Yeah, there's no Claire listed among his clients, and she doesn't speak on the tapes.
Not once.
To be honest, Gov, we're not really sure what these tapes are.
Or who she is. All we've got is a Christian name and a rough age group, that's it.
Well, if she was underage, you'd have wanted to hide her.
Well, look, Gov, we can always go back and re-interview all of his female clients, see if Claire's a nickname for one of them.
Good luck with that. What else?
Well, we're still not able to see his kids.
What, his wife's in the way?
Yeah, strange that, because they're the ones that can confirm her alibi. It don't add up, Wes. I think she's lying.
She won't like it.
I don't care. Do it.
Home of Dr. Gardner.
Whatever Mum said.
Kate, be good to hear it from you, though, Riley.
Riley shrugs his shoulders.
Hey, Riley's an unusual name.
It's my mum's maiden name.
Sorry?
It's my maiden name.
Original. So anything else you can tell us about that night?
We just did my homework together. Took ages, and then I went to bed.
Hey, that's good. That's helpful, Riley. What time was it?
10:15.
10:15? That's pretty precise. How do you know that?
It all happened just like Mum said.
Riley fidgets nervously.
Well, you know, well, that's really helpful, Riley. Thank you very much. I'd like to talk to Lisa now, if that's okay.
I'm afraid she's still at school. She wanted to get some things, be with her friends for a while. If you come back...
No, that's fine. We'll go to the school, talk to her there.
Well, I'll come with you.
That's okay. Thanks, Mrs. Gardner. We can handle that.
Ronnie and Joe head out. Riley is fidgeting wildly. At the school...
I was in my room. Mum and Riley were downstairs.
Doing his homework.
Lisa looks down and nods nervously.
Lisa?
Yes, doing that.
See, I don't think so. No. Why are you lying to us?
What did Riley say?
Lisa, you gotta help us out here.
She eyes them, her brow pinched in anxiety.
He came into my room.
Okay, when was that?
I don't know, late. He'd gone to bed and he woke up. He gets these nightmares and he was looking for Mum.
And
he couldn't find her, so we went looking together.
You didn't find her, did you?
Lisa shakes her head.
Do you think?
What?
Do you think she did it?
In an interview room at the station.
Your daughter made a statement.
You forced her to.
Where were you on the night of the murder?
My client already answered this.
Did it bother you? Your husband was spending so much time with young, impressionable girls.
It was his job.
Who's Claire?
I don't know.
Why is there a secret room in your husband's office?
I don't know.
Well, I think you do. I'm going to play you a tape recording that we found.
He presses play.
I'm willing to break every rule and every vow for you. Nothing else matters. How can it when our feelings are so...
Turn it off!
Alison Gardner looks down and puts a hand to her head. Then she knits her fingers together and bows her head.
Rock in the sea of chaos. I'm a rock in the sea of chaos. I'm a rock in the sea of chaos. I'm a rock in the sea of chaos.
Ronnie hurries along a corridor and into the office.
Jonathan, how far back does the list of patients go?
I've got over 20 years of cases here.
Could you show me the first ones, please?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Ronnie puts on his glasses and reads a list of names.
Great.
He goes back into the interview room with some papers. He sits down next to Joe and opposite Alison and her representative.
Alison, were you a patient of Dr. Gardner? Have you ever been a patient of Dr. Gardner?
What's that? Is that my file?
How old were you when he treated you?
It's my file. He can't see that, he's not allowed.
Were you young?
I was 15.
Ronnie nods.
Did you fall in love with him whilst he was treating you?
I really don't want to talk about this.
Well, you reacted very strongly when we played that tape. Was it because it reminded you of your experiences with Dr. Gardner? Is he doing it again? Replacing you with a younger model?
He doesn't love her. And she doesn't love him.
And how do you know this?
He's just acting without control or discipline.
You've heard these tapes before, haven't you?
They are the actions of a diseased mind.
I don't understand.
No, but there's no point trying to make him better.
What did you do?
Alison stares down, she rubs her nose and purses her lips.
Alison. You killed your husband because you knew he was abusing a teenage girl. Didn't you? That's right, isn't it?
It seems like she gives a little nod.
Your silence isn't helping you, Alison. You know that. You think it is, but it isn't. You are wrong. Alison Gardner, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Philip Gardner. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned, something which you later rely on in court.
A tear rolls down her cheek in the corridor.
Hello. You gone mad?
Huh?
You can't start waving a patient's case file around.
Gov?
No, this is confidential information. You know as well as I do, they're going to kick this straight out of court.
One, I didn't use any confidential information. Two, I just asked questions, she answered them, right, Joe?
Yes, okay, but the file was in your hand.
Where's? Oh, I'm sorry, what, this file?
Yes.
This isn't Alison Gardner's file. I just picked this up on the way through to the interview room. Why did it seem like it was her file? I'm sorry.
They glance back as Alison is led out of the interview room.
You still need to find Claire.
Wes eyes them sternly. Central Crown Court, Monday, 10th of March.
Morning, Jake.
BJ.
We're up against each other soon. I'm defending Alison Gardner.
Yes, I saw that she'd hired you. I look forward to it.
Me too, Jake. Me too.
At the CPS.
I can't believe the daughter has changed her statement.
How'd they get the girl to retract?
Well, she's 16 and she loves her mom. Wouldn't it have been hard to persuade her that she got her dates muddled and made a mistake?
So now we have no witness to contradict Alison Gardner's alibi.
No witness, no weapon. She's still maintaining her innocence. And we're no closer to finding Claire, whoever she is.
And without Lisa's evidence, we're stuffed.
Oh, well, now I'm reassured.
I'm working on it.
What else?
Well, the police have worked through Alison's phone records and she made only one call the morning after Dr. Gardner died, to her mum.
Home of Mrs. Riley, Sunningdale.
I know it must be difficult, Mrs.
I
Riley.
I have nothing to say to you.
No, but Mrs. Riley...
She's a good girl now.
Mrs. Riley, the phone call the morning after when she...
She didn't do it. Philip had put an end to all that.
But she must have caused you a lot of worry with the trouble she'd gotten into.
Yeah?
That's a nice way of putting it. She still blames me. But I wasn't the one out all night, blind drunk, with my legs in the air.
But Dr. Gardner helped her, though, yeah?
Oh, he saved her. Everyone tuttered because she was so young. I mean, she was just 15. But the shame of that, of them, that I could live with.
Did they ever fight?
No more than any other couple.
The phone call, the morning after. Did she seem distressed at all?
Well, you can hear for yourself.
Oh, sorry, I don't understand.
I wasn't in when she phoned. She left a message. It's on the machine.
North London Academy, Monday, 10th of March. Joe's with Lisa.
You know, Lisa, we were very surprised when we heard that you changed your statement.
I just got things muddled up.
It's just, you seemed very clear when we spoke to you before, so.
I just got things wrong, that's all.
I understand that you want to protect your mother. It's a good instinct, but I'm not like the police, Lisa. I have to fight for my cases. And if you won't speak, then I'm going to have to call your brother to the witness box. Now, I don't think Riley would cope very well, all alone in court, having to see his mother in the dock. Do you?
I don't know what to do.
It's okay, Lisa.
Just tell me what really happened.
It's all my fault. I found the tape in Dad's office. I was snooping. Stupid, because his patients often have really cool things. And later, and it was disgusting. It freaked me out. I tried to hide it, but Mum came in and she saw I was crying.
Lisa shakes her head.
I shouldn't have let her hear it. I know what she's like. If I'd have just put it back. It's all my fault.
At the station.
Hi, Mum, it's just me. Wondering if you'd heard from Philip. He didn't come home last night. Hope you're okay. Bye.
I'm sorry, how is this helpful?
Listen again, in the background.
Hi, Mum, it's just me. Wondering if you'd heard from Philip. He didn't come home last night. Hope you're okay. Bye.
That doesn't sound like Regent's Park.
No, it doesn't.
Well, she can say what she likes, but cell site towers show Mrs. Gardner was nowhere near the park. She was actually somewhere around St. Pancras. Forensic audio have managed to isolate and enhance some of the specific sounds from the tape. This.
Hi, Mum, it's just me.
Is a train. Also, and this is a bit odd, they've picked up what sounds like a winching noise.
Around St. Pancras, you say?
Yeah.
By Regent's Canal.
Really? And they need two officers stationed either side of the bridge, that side of the canal, yeah?
John? They've got her on closed circuit, walking away from Goodsway Bridge.
Goodsway.
Right, guys, we're going to have to look further along, yeah?
The winching sound is a lock being opened. Ronnie and Joe sit on a bench.
Joe, do us a favour, mate. Stop fidgeting, will you? You should put this time to good use anyway.
Like?
Think of a way we can find this Claire.
I've searched all the national databases for missing persons. You know, I've talked to all of his patients.
A diver emerges from the water with a knife. Crown Prosecution Service, Tuesday, 11th of March.
We now have the knife whose serrated blade and size could have caused the wounds on Dr. Gardner's body.
Could have.
A knife that we can prove was in Dr. Gardner's office. It was recovered close by where Mrs. Gardner was seen on CCTV.
Does it show her holding this knife?
It shows her in the vicinity and not in Regent's Park, as she previously claimed.
What DNA is there to link my client with this knife? Because we all know the water will mean you have no real evidence.
I'm satisfied that we have more than enough.
So am I.
Henry walks in.
It's all circumstantial.
You've convicted on less.
A jury's going to wonder why Mrs. Gardner lied to the police and will point out just how often she did.
Look, I appreciate your disclosure, but really...
I was raped. I was 15 and he raped me.
Hang on.
When I found out he was going to do it again, all over again, I couldn't breathe. I was so scared of what would happen to Claire. I felt sick, so I ran to him to confront him and to stop him. But then I don't know, I lost control. I stabbed him.
Mrs. Gardner, do you understand the implications of what you're saying?
Of course she doesn't.
It wasn't murder.
You want to change your plea from not guilty to guilty of manslaughter?
No!
Yes. Yes, that's right, I do.
Her eyes rove. She leaves with Vijay, her barrister.
Can't believe they thought we'd just roll over and go for a manslaughter plea.
Is it really such a bad idea? At least we'd avoid the trial and the cost. There's less damage to the children.
You'd accept her plea?
Over loss of control? Yeah, I would. Look, the repeated rape clearly qualifies as a trigger, and you know the jury's going to empathise with that.
So you think Dr. Gardner raped her?
I do, yeah. Oh, come on.
What?
a mattress in a secret room. It's not right.
She stabbed him over and over and over and over. Seven times, not once or twice, seven. Loss of control? Maybe, but she must have been covered in blood, and yet she walked away, changed her clothes, and had the presence of mind to dump them somewhere we still don't know where. Like the tape she heard, precisely disposed of. And then she sent that message to her mother and took her children to school, made them lie on her behalf. And then, only because we finally found the knife, did she change her story. Now, I understand why you feel like that. Alison's a very sympathetic figure, but she knew exactly what she was doing. And we have to make the jury see it's murder.
Crown versus Gardner, trial day one.
Could you tell the court where you were on that evening?
I was at home.
And what were you doing at home?
We had dinner, Mum and Riley, like we always do. And then I did my homework and stayed in my room.
All night?
No. I was on my computer chatting to friends and stuff. And then Riley came in.
And what did he want?
He wanted to know where Mum was.
And where was she?
We couldn't find her.
When did you notice she was gone?
About 10, I think.
And when did she get back?
I don't know.
Lisa?
I didn't see her till the morning.
But your mother said that she was with you the whole time.
Your Honor.
Mr. Thornton, is there an actual question you would like to ask the witness?
Thank you, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor. She said everything she should.
It's okay, my love. It's all okay. I love you, Lisa.
I love you too, Mum.
Please, Mrs. Gardner, I cannot allow this.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I need to get this to Mr. Prasad.
The clerk takes the piece of paper to her barrister, Vijay.
Thank you.
He reads it and looks unhappy.
Mr. Prasad?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, right. Lisa, would you tell us about the time that your mother planted lilies in your front garden?
I don't want to.
It's okay, Lisa, it's fine.
And Mrs. Gardner, please.
Lisa?
Mum planted flowers, two rows all the way from the gate to the door. But when Dad came home, he was really angry.
And what did he do?
He ripped them up.
Why? Why did he rip them up, Lisa?
Dad said that she didn't have permission.
He treated me like a child, didn't
Mrs.
he?
Mrs. Gardner. I'm being as patient as I can in these circumstances.
I'm sorry.
But I will not have this case overrun by you. You will respect this courtroom or you will be removed from it. Is that clear, Mr. Prasad?
Thank you, Your Honor. Is it correct that you were the person who found the tape?
Yes.
And you showed it to your mother?
Yes.
How did she react when she heard the recording?
She went quiet and locked herself in the loo.
Thank you, Lisa.
One last question, Lisa, and then you're done. Did you ever hear your mother tell your father that she loved him?
Yes, of course. Lots of times.
Jake, the prosecution, nods, walking up the stairs.
What did the jury make of it?
I think they like her.
They love her.
There's something else.
Great.
The defense have called up a child psychiatrist, a Dr. Antonia Carey, to give evidence in support of Alison.
Saying what?
Emphasizing the ongoing trauma of childhood abuse in adult life.
Oh, no, this is bad.
Yes, that's what I thought. We're going from guilty of murder with a life sentence to manslaughter on grounds of loss of control. With good behavior,
she can be very well behaved when she needs to be.
I can see her being back out in 2 years.
What do we know about this Dr. Carey?
She is smart and very principled. When we brought in the young lad who tried to kill himself, well, she made it very clear she had no time for Philip Gardner's methods.
What, you think this is personal?
Well, she just felt the boy in her care had been mistreated. But the guy's dead. I don't know why she wants to tread the dirt in.
Her motivation isn't important. Will she damage the case?
She'll convince the jury, all right. She comes across very well.
Yes, she does, doesn't she?
In the CPS office.
No news of Claire?
Well, Joe's out now, trying all the homeless shelters, hostels, that sort of thing. When we know, you'll know.
I appreciate your efforts, Ronnie.
Ronnie goes, leaving Jake, Henry and Kate in the office. Henry looks out at Ronnie as he presses the lift call button. He turns back to the others.
Okay. I think I can help you.
Dr. Gardner abused the privileges of his profession.
There is never an excuse for sexual relationships with your patients. It is an absolute betrayal of trust. If you break that trust, then your behavior can have tragic and even violent consequences.
Even much later on in life?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Carey.
Dr. Carey, do you have examples of these cases where violence followed the sexual interaction between doctor and patient?
I do.
And of these cases, how many of the abused patients went on to marry the adult with whom they had sex?
I don't know of any, but...
How about those where doctor and patient remained married for 20 years and raised two happy and well-balanced children?
None. But Dr. Gardner was in a position whereby he could convince Alison she was in love with him, even if this wasn't the case.
So are you certain that Dr. Gardner crossed a line when he had sex with Alison?
Yes, it's unforgivable.
Have you ever done the same?
Of course not.
Never?
No.
When you were much younger, quite early on in your career, is it right that you used to counsel members of the legal profession after traumatic cases?
I did.
Did you ever sleep with a patient? How about a young solicitor who was deeply affected by a harrowing case involving the death of a key witness?
Yes, once, but only once, and I should stress that the man was not a child. He was 31.
But you betrayed his trust all the same, surely. Dr. Carey, weren't you worried about the tragic and violent consequences that may follow?
Dr. Carey blinks and glances away. Henry stands waiting in the hall of the Royal Courts of Justice. Dr. Carey comes down and spots him. He heads over to her. He stops again and stands stiffly.
That was a low blow.
She's guilty of murder.
Dr. Carey walks past him, then stops and marches back.
You're certain of that, are you?
My team are, and I trust them.
Well, you should have warned me.
How? How could I?
Those were private moments between us. We managed to keep them a secret for this long. I remember them fondly. Until today.
I can't let her walk free, Antonia.
And what if she's telling the truth?
She isn't.
Dr. Carey shakes her head and walks away. Crown versus Gardner, trial, day 6.
My parents trusted him, so when he took me away for days at a time, they never questioned it. The first time, he drove me to a cottage in the middle of the countryside, and there he forced me to have sex with him. I let him because I wanted to please him, but it hurt. When I said that I'd tell someone, he'd laugh. He said, no one would believe a screw-up like me, and I'd end up in the loony bin.
In the stand, Alison hangs her head.
And then he would touch me and tell me we were in love.
She glances around the courtroom.
After a few years, sex felt normal. My behaviour was better in public, so I told him I wanted to go to college. And he went crazy. He drove me to a mental institution. He parked right opposite, right where I could see the gates, and he said he would have me committed if I tried to leave him. And then he forced me to have sex with him right there in the car. He said he was turned on by the idea that someone might see.
Yeah, oh, hello, Joe. It's me, yeah. Are you near a computer?
I dropped out of school. My parents didn't seem to care. And then, not long after, he announced that my therapy had been a success.
Ronnie leaves the courtroom. Alison watches Kate do the same.
For a moment, I thought I was free, but then he told me that we were getting married.
Well, look in the other file. Yeah, keep looking.
Ronnie's on the phone.
Hi, I need access to Exhibit 17, the Crown versus Gardner case. Quick as you can, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
The receptionist gets up.
Really? That's great. Well done.
Kate listens to the tape.
He looked at me and began to unbutton your blouse. We were parked right opposite the hospital. It was so blatant and forbidden.
Kate.
We couldn't help ourselves.
Kate.
I
think I found something.
I found Claire.
I heard him talking on the tape, and it was all the same games, the same tricks. But now he was doing it to someone else. I don't remember walking to the office. I don't remember leaving the house. I'd seen the knife before in his desk, and he was lying on the sofa.
She starts to cry and hangs her head.
And I stabbed him.
No further questions, Your Honour.
On the benches, Lisa cries too. Jake questions Alison.
Why didn't you go to the police when you heard the tape?
I knew that Claire would never dare speak against him, so nothing would have happened.
And why did you say that you loved him?
I said what I was expected to say.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that his actions were not threatening? Wasn't he trying to help you?
Ronnie and Kate come back into the courtroom. Kate hands Jake a piece of paper, which he reads, then looks up in shock. Alison waits tentatively.
Mr. Thorne? Mr. Thorne?
Yes, I just...
He looks over at the defence and Lisa behind them on a bench.
Yes. You mentioned that Dr. Gardner drove you to a country cottage. Could you tell the court about this, please?
I don't really remember. He took me to lots of places.
But the first one, what do you remember about that?
It was about an hour's drive from my parents, very remote. There was a small town nearby for food, but otherwise we were completely isolated.
And what was the name of that town?
I can't remember.
Your Honour, with your permission, may I play an excerpt from one of the tapes for the court?
The judge nods and waves at the clerk, who gets up and fetches the tape from Jake. Vijay looks over with a furrowed brow.
And you laughed. You looked at me and began to unbutton your blouse. We were parked right opposite the hospital. It was so blatant and forbidden. We couldn't help ourselves. I'd become part of your disease. And I knew right then that I had to be your doctor for life.
We were parked right opposite the hospital. You said you and he had sex right outside a mental institution.
No.
He's describing you, isn't he?
No.
What was the name of that town, Alison?
I don't...
The town was called Clare. It's the name written on all these tapes.
I think...
You thought he had betrayed you. But the tapes are actually a memoir. Dr. Gardner named them after the town that you and he first went together. These tapes are a testament of his love for you. Isn't that right? There is no other girl. No betrayal. No repeated offense. No Claire. There was only you.
Alison wobbles on the stand.
Alison?
Oh, Philip.
He never raped you, did he? He fell in love with you and you with him, but you were so scared that he was going to leave you that you killed him. Did he abuse you, Alison? Alison?
No. No, he loved me. He promised he would save me, and he did, and I loved him. I loved him. What do I do now? What do I do? What do I do now?
She sits down, her chest heaving up and down. Jake is heading out of the Royal Courts of Justice. Kate walks up behind him.
Time for a drink. You won.
You too. Well spotted.
Oh, it was more Ronnie than me.
Look at us both. Try not to take any credit.
You were right. She was very convincing. The jury would have gone with her.
And we got lucky. You you feel lucky?
The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Audio description by Deluxe.